morning and welcome to Occupy the Airwaves. Okay, it is really amazing. We've been doing show after show on the censorship of social media, but the censorship of mainstream media is even more amazing. It's a sight to behold or a sight not to behold. For instance, the Joe Biden is for some reason coddled like a little baby wrapped in cotton or something. I have never seen a more corrupt, lawless, criminal, sniffing, groping, senile person. It's like the emperor has no clothes. I don't know if people realize this, but in The Emperor Has No Clothes, when the little boy says, "But he's naked," and everyone's like, "Yes, he's naked. Nothing happens. There is no revolution. The emperor is not deposed. He does not run in shame and put some clothes on. No, he keeps marching on as if nothing has happened. And his attendants, his sycophants, the people that are paid to make sure that everybody, you know, thinks he's wonderful, they keep pretending that they're holding up this cloak of magnificent colors that is invisible. Yeah. That's how it is with Joe Biden. The man is corrupt, the man is lawless, the man takes bribes, and all of it is covered up by the media, and not just the media. The people that are supposed to enforce the law in the United States of America, like the FBI, which we've been through, but also the IRS. And a couple of IRS whistleblowers have come forward and blown the whistle about how they were prevented from going after Hunter Biden for millions and millions and millions of dollars of unpaid taxes by their superiors. And this has been covered up as much as the FBI whistleblowers we talked about a few weeks ago. The mainstream media simply will not cover it. So I thought about maybe doing my show, you know, digging into it, but then I got lazy because it was already done. Kim Iverson interviewed Garland Nixon, and it was one heck of an interview, and it kind of lays it out. So I'm like, you know what? Here on community radio, we replay other sources all the time. It is just a way of spreading around the truth. You know, if we hear something that we think is important for people to know, well, then we can play it. And then you can hear it. And if you didn't hear it the first time, well, then you get to hear it this time. This is actually from a YouTube video from 2 weeks ago. But hey, you know what? If you want to look it up, go for it. In the meantime, I'm going to play it.
Well, another bombshell dropped in the investigation against Joe Biden and potential wrongdoing or bribery with foreign national companies. Chuck Grassley, Senator Chuck Grassley, came out and did a big press conference today. Here's a clip from it that kind of details what the latest bombshell is from today.
Let me assist for the purposes of more transparency on this subject. The 1023 produced to the House committee's redacted reference that the foreign national who allegedly bribed Joe and Hunter Biden allegedly has audio recordings of his conversation with them. 17 such recordings. According to the 1023, the foreign national possesses 15 audio recordings of phone calls between him and Hunter Biden. According to the 1023, the foreign national possesses 2 audio recordings of phone calls between him and then Vice President Joe Biden. These recordings were allegedly kept as a sort of insurance policy for the foreign national in case that he got into a tight spot.
Okay, with us to help break down this entire Joe Biden scandal, because I know it's a lot to absorb. There's a lot of moving pieces. A lot happens all the time. But with us now is someone who's been following this story very closely and is going to break it down for us. Garland Nixon joins us now, political analyst and radio talk show host. Garland, welcome to the show.
Thank you. And a former investigator, I might add. So
all right.
I have some experience in this particular area of expertise.
Even better. So we've been hearing this for a long time, and it's touted by, of course, people on the left, Democrats, as a conspiracy theory that Joe Biden and his family was somehow profiting off of Joe Biden being vice president of the United States. Can you walk us through what this investigation is and where they're at with it, and if there's any real there.
Certainly. So, a very brief background. 2014, the United States is involved in a coup in Ukraine. The government's overthrown. A very pro-U.S. government comes into power. Very shortly after, Ukraine started getting flooded by members of the Obama administration and their families, one being, of course, Joe Biden's son. Hunter Biden, who got a job working for this company called Burisma. Burisma was a gas company, and it was alleged to be had been involved in some criminal activity. There were investigations going on. In fact, the funds of this company had been frozen in England at the time. So there was the equivalent of their attorney general was doing an investigation. We know that shortly thereafter, Joe Biden, who became, effectively the governor of this new colony of the United States, bragged on tape that he was able to get this person fired with a threat of holding back a $1 billion loan.
We actually have that clip. So let's actually play that clip real quick, okay. So just to refresh everyone's memory.
So I got Ukraine, and I remember going over convincing our team, our others, to convincing us that we should be providing for loan guarantees. And I went over, the 12th, 13th time to Kyiv, and I was supposed to announce that there was another $1 billion loan guarantee. And I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko and from Yatsenyuk that they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. So they said they were walking out to press conference. We're not going to give you the $1 billion. They said, you have no authority. You're not the president. The president said. I said, call him. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. I said, you're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here. And I think it was, 6 hours? I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Well, son of a bitch. Got fired.
Okay, so there's that.
And they brought in a new prosecutor. Here's what's interesting. They brought in a new prosecutor, but the RADA, which is their equivalent of their of the Ukrainian Congress, had to change the law. Because the guy that they brought in with a prosecutor as the new prosecutor wasn't even a lawyer. So he had no idea what he was doing or how to continue. So they imagine bringing in an attorney general that's a plumber. But that's effectively what they did. So here's where we are now, and this is why it's important. That gives us a good solid background. What has happened now is recently, late April, early May, a whistleblower came from the FBI to Congress and said, look, the FBI has a document wherein they have had someone come to them and say that Joe Biden and his son apparently got, the number seems to be 5 to 10 million, maybe 5 million each. Don't hold me to those numbers. They were bribed to do this. So the Congress says to the FBI, hey, we're your oversight. We need to see that. The FBI says, no, we're not going to give it to you. Congress then says, look, if you don't, we're going to hold you in contempt. This is an unclassified document. It is not classified. So the FBI then says, okay, they decide, apparently, I guess they talk to their counsel and they figure out they have to. It's an unclassified document. Anybody could see, you and I could see it, but they didn't want to show it to Congress. They bring it to Congress, and they didn't bring it to Congress. Congress had to go to a classified facility to see an unclassified document, and it was highly redacted. Well, Chuck Grassley gets his hands on this document unredacted. And he finds out, according to Grassley, who, if you look at his record, there's no reason to believe that Chuck Grassley would make these things up. Apparently, whoever this person is, this foreign national who made the assertion, apparently this person was involved with this company, Burisma, they said, yep, I bribed them and I've got the goods on them. Apparently, the guy said he's got 15 recordings talking with Hunter Biden and two talking with Joe Biden. So he said, I've got the evidence in case I ever got in a tight spot. I wanted the evidence. So
yeah,
here comes
smart.
But here's the question. And this relates to the Trump issue, because I've said the issue with Trump is equal protection under the law. How in the world are you going to go after Trump when I have a myriad of charges against Biden and Hillary Clinton and James Clapper and on and on and on and on, but you don't go after Trump. So the issue is, number one, and this is what Grassley's asking, validly so, why have you been holding on to this document so long? What are you doing? Have you been investigating it? You haven't told us anything. And last but not least, you gave it to Congress and you specifically redacted the part that says there is evidence. This guy says he's got the audio recordings speaking to the president of the United States. So what we see here, and that's why I directly connect this to the Donald Trump issue, the FBI appears to be doing everything within their power to keep from charging Joe Biden, to keep from investigating Joe Biden, which is consistent. Let's not forget, the FBI had the Hunter Biden laptop for 1 year before the 2020 election. And just before the election, the FBI went to Twitter and all of the social media companies and said to them, "We think the Russians are going to come out with something and claim that it's a Hunter Biden laptop, but it's all Russian disinformation." They knew it was a lie because they had it. They specifically made that lie up to influence the election. So what we're seeing is the Gestapo here. What we're seeing is a national police department who intentionally acts on behalf of particular politicians or particular parties. So that's one of the reasons that I connect this directly to the Trump indictment.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely seeming like there's some sort of a double standard, especially with this one being serious allegations. This isn't just classified documents that you held in your Corvette or in your basement or in your, you know, safe or something. This is actual bribery charges. So let me just kind of break this down and get this straight. So Grassley is now saying that this informant that apparently came forward to the FBI and then the FBI used this form, because we've been hearing about this form, the FD-1023 form, which is, I guess, a form the FBI uses whenever a human source comes to them. It's not verified yet. It's just what's filled out when the source that they have says, "Hey, this is the information I've got." They fill it all out onto this form. And so it was told to these GOP senators that this form exists and it contains information about Joe Biden and a bribery scheme with a foreign national, right? So Grassley gets that they eventually, this oversight committee gets to see this, but heavily redacted. And from my understanding, the FBI didn't even give it to them. They just showed it to them, let them read it, and then said, "Anyway, we're taking it back. You can't have this unclassified document," right? So now this source, who apparently is a paid source by the FBI, has been very credible, been used by the FBI for many years. And this source claims that is the source claiming that they are the ones who have the tape and the bribery scheme between Biden and the Burisma? Are they like the Burisma executive and they're the ones who have the audio recordings, or are they alleging that they know of the recordings between the Burisma executive and Joe Biden? Do you know which one it is? Because we don't know who the source is.
Yes, I can read it to you. According to the 1023, the foreign national possesses 15 audio recordings of phone calls between him and Hunter Biden. The foreign national possesses 2 audio recordings of phone calls between him and then Vice President Joe Biden. These recordings were allegedly kept as a sort of insurance policy for the foreign national in case he got into a tight spot. The 1023 also indicates that then Vice President may have been involved in Burisma employing Hunter Biden. So he didn't know anything about it. Yeah. So this guy's now saying he got in the job. Joe Biden. Now, let's not forget, Hunter Biden flew on Air Force 2 to Ukraine with Joe Biden. If you look at the previous evidence that we know and you compare it to this, it matches up perfectly like a puzzle. But the question arises, what the hell is the FBI doing with this? Why are they hiding it? Why are they always, when it comes to the Biden people, they're hiding it. They don't have any evidence. The Congress can't see what they have. Everything's redacted. Again, it comes back to, this is a political maneuver, another political maneuver. It's pretty frightening.
So the FBI informant says the foreign national has these recordings. I still don't know if it's clear if the informant is the foreign national or if the informant just says the foreign national has these things. Because if the informant is the foreign national, then an even bigger question arises, which is why didn't the FBI say, "Well, then give us the tapes, we want to hear it," Right? Or if this is an informant that says, I know of the guy, the foreign national has these tapes. Even then, did they do an investigation into that foreign national and the tapes? Where are those tapes? Why don't we have those tapes?
Well, I don't know. I don't have a delineation yet between foreign national, if that's the same person, if it's a different person. We do know that the document, the 1023, does say the foreign national has these. So, but it brings up some obvious questions. As I said, I'm a former investigator. For a statewide police department in Maryland, I was the commander of the investigations division. I know how to do this stuff. And I find it impossible to conceive a universe where, as an investigator, someone comes to me with this level of evidence against, when I was here, it would be the governor of Maryland would be our boss. But that someone comes to me with this level of against the governor, and I don't go straight to the attorney general and say, we've got a big problem here. And you have to direct me how to act. Because at that point, the FBI has to make some decision. It's time to go to the Department of Justice. They have not just a legal, but they have a political problem on their hands. But it has to be fully investigated, and they should by now have all of this stuff. The question is, why are you hiding it from the oversight committees?
Yeah, I think the first thing to ask in this whole thing is, did the FBI follow up on that source? Did they follow up on those recordings? Did they, whether the FBI informant was the foreign national or if they knew who the foreign national was, did the FBI do their job? Because if an informant came to you as an investigator and says, I have some information, and you don't then go and investigate that information, aren't you negligent? So wouldn't the FBI be held negligent in this? And the people that were in charge of this investigation, their heads should roll in this situation. But they're protecting the president. They're protecting Joe Biden.
I would even argue further than that. Not only would they be negligent, they would be in violation of the law. You know, they have a duty to act as a result of the position that they hold. You have a duty to act. If I'm a police officer and I'm standing on the street and I see some guy beating some woman to death, I have a duty to act. If I don't act, then I have violated the law. So I would argue that there's a violation. We're looking at a potential violation of the law. So we have two issues. Not the one being certainly the investigation against Joe Biden, but the other being, what has the FBI done? Now, keep in mind, as citizens, we don't necessarily have a right to know what the FBI is doing in the immediacy, because they could let out information that could compromise the investigation. That argument is valid. However, there is no argument that the oversight groups in Congress, that they should hold the information from them. And let's not forget, at first, they flat out refused to give the 1023 information until Congress threatened to hold them in contempt. And even then, it was redacted to the point where it was worthless.
So I understand.
But the other FBI thing I might add, one other thing that's important, and that is, the problem they have is Chuck Grassley apparently has a copy of the unredacted 1023.
Yeah, so now he knows what it says. So
yeah, he knows too much.
I think, you know, I understand the argument that we're not entitled to exactly everything the FBI is doing in their investigations, sure, because it might compromise the investigation. But aren't we entitled to know whether or not they're investigating?
Absolutely. Yes, we particularly in this I'll put it like this. Congress has a right to know. And then if Congress can make a decision once they know how much that they would release, you know, so Congress, let's not forget, this is the same FBI that has leaked classified, if you remember, Comey admitted, they leaked classified documents to the New York Times. So here is an FBI that says we can leak classified documents to the media, but we can't give an unclassified document to Congress. This is shady as can be.
Well, and there's so many different aspects to this entire thing. I mean, not only do you have, obviously, the sitting president of the United States potentially implicated in this, or who is implicated in this, but then you also have Ukraine and the war. And this is something that, you know, of course, the country has decided to rally around Ukraine to not make Ukraine look bad. There was even that moment when Zelensky started firing all of the people in his inner circle because they were misusing the funds that we were sending them. Remember, there was all these governors and other heads that were, you know, 10 different people that were fired, you know, to try to, for the appearance of, well, we don't want to be misusing any of this war money that we're being sent, right? So I could see why it's not right. You and I definitely don't agree with this, but I can understand their reasoning where they're thinking, well, we don't want to compromise the president of the United States, and we don't want to compromise our funding for Ukraine in this war against Russia. And this would be showing corruption. This would take out potentially a sitting president. This would be all levels of and the Democratic Party and their complete cover up, the FBI. Lots of big power players completely implicated in this. Actually,
well, the problem is this again. It becomes the standard. Let's not forget what just happened in New York. The New York State Legislature literally changed the law so that a person who had a complaint against someone for sexual harassment or sexual assault years ago could now have a 1-year period where they could go after the person they accused. They changed that law within an hour after they changed the law. A lawsuit was filed against Donald Trump, and no other suits have been. So they literally changed the law to go after Donald Trump. There are no bounds to go after Donald Trump. But when it comes to Biden, once again, the FBI is just the guard for the neocons. And I don't see an excuse for it. And let me add this. Do you think for 1 second, if it was Donald Trump, they'd use that standard? Oh, well, we got a war going on. We can't go after Trump.
Yeah, exactly. No, they would be definitely taking him down. He'd be behind bars by now. They'd say, we got him. He took a bribe and made a foreign policy decision for the country. And that would definitely take you out completely. But this is really insane. Thank you for filling us in on this, because this has been really complex and trying to, you know, it seems like every week new information comes out. You know, we hear, okay, there's this form with the FBI, and then we hear, then Comer, I know, came out with a big report, a 36-page report about a month ago, saying there were all these connections between $10 million worth of payments and 9 members of the Biden family or inner circle, and they were all getting money from these foreign companies. And it's like, but these members of his family have no experience, no reason to be employed by these companies, no reason to be accepting $10 million worth of payments, and they didn't have the smoking gun against Biden on that. They had nothing that connected Biden except for, obviously, these people were there in these positions collecting all this money because they were connected to Joe Biden and they were peddling influence. Maybe the smoking gun's not there, but all of the rest of us know we're not idiots. We know exactly why these family members were making this money.
You can look at it this. Kofor Black, former CIA assistant director, when he went straight to, he was also on the board of Burisma. So the former CIA director, there's money to be made. They overthrew the government. He's on the board of Burisma. Amos Hochstein, one of Joe Biden's buddies, he works in gas. He was one of the people whose job it was, but he was assigned by Joe Biden to stop Nord Stream from continuing, right? So he's this big gas guy. As soon as the government was overthrown, he worked for the Obama administration. He dropped his job, and he went to as soon as they overthrew the government of Ukraine, he quit his job in the Obama administration, went to Ukraine, and got a job on the board of NAFTA Gas, which is their state gas company, making a fortune. So the issue is this. It wasn't just Biden. When they overthrow a country, they go into that country, and they pick the bones like vultures, and they were all there. So they've got to protect Biden, because this is the game. When they throw over, it's like you knock over a person in the street, you pull out their wallet, you take their phone, you take every, if you're a hoodlum, you're going to take everything somebody has. That's what these neocons do. And it's coming out bit by bit.
Well, and it's also showcasing exactly why we're still in this war. They're thinking, well, we throw a few billion at it, but that's okay, because we're making billions more off of being there in Ukraine and all of these different companies that we've got going there. So they're protecting their corporate interests by continuing to support Ukraine in this war. And that's also coming out in this. I mean, this is all making it very apparent. When there's money to be made, that's what the military's for. They're the henchmen to protect the corporate interests and the money-making machine. So, Garland, thank you so much for joining us. Always a pleasure.
Thank you.
You're always so informed. Garland Nixon, political analyst, radio talk show host, and also former investigator, so definitely helpful in this. Garland, do you want to tell people where they can find you?
Yes, well, actually, in a little bit, I'll be on KPFK at 3 p.m. Pacific time. I'll be on KPFK doing my show. But my YouTube show is the best place. I have a YouTube show, and I do what Kim does, only not quite as well.
Oh, that is not true. That is not true. You're one of the best, in my opinion. So, Garland, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
All right. That was Kim Iverson and Garland Nixon telling you what's going on and telling you what's been covered up. So as they pointed out, the idea, it's not just a tale of corruption and graft and lawlessness and cover-up of the original coup, which, by the way, if you listen to Victoria Nuland's tape with Jeffrey Pyatt, Victoria Nuland was the Assistant Secretary of State and Jeffrey Pyatt was the ambassador to Ukraine in 2014 when they oversaw the coup that overthrew the elected government of Ukraine and put in the U.S. handpicked government, the coup government. Yats, yats is the guy, says Vicky Nuland. But what they also say is, Victoria Nuland says, we have to run this by Biden and get his attaboy. Really? Now, this is in 2014, before Biden was senile, before he was president, he was vice president. But he was in total charge or ultimate charge of the coup, according to Victoria Nuland. Not many people focus on that because the whole, if you hear about it at all, you just hear what she said about the EU. She used an expletive about the EU because the EU wasn't really going along with the coup. But once the coup happened, once the United States pushed the coup through, well, then the EU was all on board, as we have seen. And now here they are, all on board for the war in Ukraine, which is the next step. The mass media and all the instruments of government not only covered up the graft and corruption from the 2014 coup to on, they are telling you that the war in Ukraine is a fight for democracy and liberty, and we have to send billions of dollars to Ukraine so they can fight off the evil Russians who invaded for no reason at all. And the whole thing's just a continuation of the original graft and corruption that started way back when. And that Joe Biden and his son are knee deep in. Ankle deep. No. Head deep. They are deep in the big muddy. Neck deep. That's how the song goes. Neck deep in the big muddy. And they are pushing the United States towards more war with the sole purpose of making some people very rich and some people very dead. And the whole thing is, as I've said before, the whole thing of fight to the last Ukrainian, kill off the last Ukrainian, that's so BlackRock and Cargill and Monsanto, Bayer now, can go in there and take over and loot Ukraine without there being any Ukrainian men to say, hey, wait a minute, you are not allowed in our land. No, 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 no. Not if they're all dead. So when Lindsey Graham sits there and rubs his teeny tiny little hands and salivates out of his disgusting mouth and talks about how they're going to fight to the last Ukrainian, that's not hyperbole. That's what they have planned. That is the plan. Kill off all the Ukrainians, steal their land, steal their resources, get as much money as possible, give 10% to the big guy, that's Joe Biden, and just carry on the grift and the graft and the corruption that's been going on now for over a decade. More like 3 decades. But anyhow, that's what I'm saying. It is absolutely amazing to me, like I said, that a story so important. And here's the thing. Even though people realize that they live in the United States of America and things are censored and things are covered up and things are not talked about, like the JFK assassination or 9/11 or the Nord Stream pipelines, still, every time it comes as a complete surprise to people. It's like, what? And people have this fiction in their head from the movies or something. All you have to do, if you have really important information, you should go to the newspapers, and then the newspapers will print it, and then everyone will know, and then there'll be a big uproar, and then things will change. Yeah, how's that working out for us? Know what I'm saying? All right, that's the end of Occupy the Airwaves. See you next week.